Good to be saved, isn't it? Well, I tell you, it is. It's good to be here again. It's a long trip to get here. We used to make it early on, and you know, you didn't ever seem to get tired or anything then. But I stopped halfway when I came the other day. I stopped in Salisbury and spent the night. But of course, you know, once you've been gone for any amount of time, you're always looking forward to getting back home. So I'm still toying with the idea, will I drive all the way back tomorrow or will I stop? I have schools to be in on Tuesday and a class Tuesday night. So I need to get back all the way. But of course, they're saying it's going to pretty much rain the whole ride back. So we just have to see what happens. Amen. See how the Lord leads with it. But boy, it is good to be here. We've had a wonderful week over in Manteo at a sister church at RIBC, just trying to, you know, they've had the most important business meeting of the week or of the year. I don't know if that's the way you see it, but I believe it is. You know, missions is the heartbeat of God, right? You know, that's what God's in, the soul business. Amen. Amen. I mean, if you're here tonight and you're saved, somebody got that, right? If the way I understand missions and the way I understand it all, Brother Richard, somebody had to come and tell us. You know, they had to be concerned enough to come and share the gospel with us. Nobody's grandfathered into this thing. God don't have grandchildren. They're great. I got three of them. They're great. But God don't have any, does he? It's personal. And so somebody has to get that. And that's what we've been doing. It's not that they don't get it over there. But, you know, you have to, this thing is a marathon, this Christian life. It's a marathon. And sometimes we need help. I know I do. We need help staying focused, you know. And so that's what this week's been about, just to encourage them to keep on keeping on. You know, they say, I've heard it said that there was over 6 billion people in the world and half of them had never heard a clear-cut version of the gospel. I can't see that that's got much better in the day we live. If anything, it's probably gotten worse. So, and that was when I started 15 years ago, I was hearing that in a lot of mission conferences and meetings. By God's men. So I can't believe that's gotten better. So, you know, that's what we've been doing over there, just trying to look at the heartbeat of God, you know, which is soul business. That's what God's in, the soul business, you know, the saving business. And so that's what's been taking place over there. That's what, in essence, that's what will be taking place here with this meeting with these missionaries from Baptist Home Missions. You'll just be encouraging them to, they're the people on the front line. You're some of the people that hold the rope. By the way, both sets of people are just as important. So you hold the rope here, and they go out on the front line and try to see people get saved. Amen. So it is good to be here. And my name is Spence Powell, and my lovely wife's Miss Garietta. She couldn't be here, but you know, we started out, when I first come on to the island the other day on last Wednesday, I always go down over there on Candela Street, and then it goes down to Langley Lane before it makes its loop around back there to where you live, Miss Georgia. And so I went down there, because down there at the end of Langley Lane is a little yellow house, and the number's 218. And that is where I met Jesus at. This Wednesday, the 22nd, will be 18 years ago. And so, you know, God was nice to me in many ways, but, you know, I have my physical birthday is April the 2nd, and my spiritual birthday is April the 22nd. So they're 20 days apart in the same month. That's you know, just something to think about there. Amen? Amen. You know, we have the child of God has two birthdays. And the second one's even more important than the first one. Amen. And so I went down there, not that I forget about what happened, but I just want to Man, I want to. It just gives me a shot in the arm because that's where it began. See, me and my family were living there, and we actually lived there for 4 years before anybody come by. And you know, they said all kind of things. They said I was door number 80. Roanoke Island had been doing a campaign. They said I was door number 80. They said one man told me that come to my house that night. He said, I've been seeing your vehicle all week. And he said, we're getting ready to leave. Give it up for the night. We heard everything. You know, and they said, we're getting ready to turn it in. And he said, no. He said, I seen there's that truck. And he said, I used to have a landscape company called Beach Landscape. And he said, I told him we got to go to at least that house before we leave. You know, and I'd never been witness to in all my life. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't even own a copy of God's Word. I was trying to be somebody and trying to just get somewhere. And that night, God sent a land surveyor to reach a landscaper. You know, God, something how God does things, you know. And I had lived on this island for, I said, 4 years, and I didn't know this man. I seen his vehicle. And the man's Merle Meekins is who the man was. And Merle come in my house that night. And, well, they come to the door first and knocked and asked could they come in. Told me what they were doing, asked could they come in. And so I invited them in. And my wife stepped in. A lot of folks chuckle on this. My wife stepped into a laundry room that was off this little shotgun barrel house. Had a living room, a dining room, and a kitchen all open. And she'd stepped into a laundry room at the very moment that the knock come at the door. And she was in her night clothes, and she couldn't come back out. And there was two strange men in the house, and they had suits on. And see, I didn't own a suit. I didn't have no reason for to wear a suit. So, you know, kind of wonder who these people are at your house this time of night, you know, in the evening with suits on. Or some people would, you know. But anyway, they come in, and Brother Merle got around to ask me. He said, this meeting went on for over an hour. And Miss Powell was still in the laundry room, by the way. And, you know, Mr. Meekins got around to ask me that question that everybody has to answer. You know, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And, you know, Brother Facenda, I told him, I can hear it just even now. I said, I believe I would. You know, I told him, Miss Elaine, I said, hey, I'm a pretty good old boy. You ever met a pretty good old boy? They're all over. Nothing wrong with it. If there were more good old boys, Rock of Ages would be put out of work. Amen. But you know, I said, look, I pay my bills. I take care of my family. I work every day. I was talking to him. You know, I told him about what all I did. And boy, he just as kind as he could, you know, he took the Bible and nowhere in there from front to back does it say good old boys outside of Jesus go to heaven. And you know, boy, I realized I was in a mess. But you know, that night in my living room, I asked Jesus to save me. And Mr. Meekins, before he left that night, he said, you need to come to church tomorrow. And he said, yeah, come to church tomorrow. And you know, I was already wanting to know more about what happened. You know, I didn't even know enough to, see, we didn't go to church, we didn't play church, we just didn't have time for God. Didn't even know God. Oh, we probably heard about God, but that's about it. So I didn't even know to tell Miss Powell what happened that night. But boy, I couldn't get away from what he said, you know, invite me to church. And the next day, and we were working from sun up to sun down. I had just gave up a full-time job at Pirate's Cove with the lawn maintenance and had stepped out on my own with just nothing and left all that security. So we were working from sun up to sun down. They'd come a few months earlier, left the door hanger, and I just said, we don't have time for that. And we chunked it. But boy, God sent them back. And so that day, that next day, about 2 p.m., I looked at Miss Powell and said, you know what, we're going to go to church. Of course, she didn't know nothing about that. But we went in, we went to church, we sat way back there and in the church over there. And Mr. Meekins, like any good Christian, come up in during the end of the service and said, you need to come up and tell everybody about what happened. I said, what? Tell everybody about what happened? You didn't say nothing about that. But you know, the Lord said to to share your profession, to let it be known. And so me, like any good husband, I asked Miss Powell, I said, don't you want to go up there and learn more about what they just said? But, you know, my wife got saved that night. Next Wednesday and next Thursday, Mine's Wednesday, hers is Thursday, spiritual. That'd be 18 years ago. And you know what? Well, that's been the greatest thing, amen? And you know, if you're here tonight, you're saved. Well, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life. Amen. When you get saved, you come to... I mean, that's why Brother Bill's in prison tonight. Yeah, he's over at Terrell. He got bit. You know, he got bit by that thing several years ago, going to prison. And he's still over there tonight. Why? Telling men over there that are incarcerated about Jesus. Isn't that great? That one of your men tonight's over in prison, not spending time but telling people about Jesus. Man, that's a great thing. You know, that's what... God's not willing that any perish, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any perish, but it all come to repentance. You know, there's a call to salvation for everybody. Now, we know the Bible says everybody's not going to answer that call, Brother Jeremy, but God put it out there. And it's our job to go and tell them. We don't know who. God said, whosoever. You know, it's not an elect. It's not certain. God said, whosoever. Now, yes, it's going to just be a few, because he said the way to, he said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And he said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. But we don't know who they are. You know, I'm glad that they came to door number 80, to 218 Langley Lane. You know, so that I could hear the gospel and be saved. And I'm sure, you know, you got your own Damascus Road story. If you're here and you're saved, amen. You got your own one. You know, that's what Paul spoke about more than anything else. But look here, you know, We got saved, and then we got into church. We got into church over there at Roanoke Island. We didn't have Bibles. They immediately gave us Bibles. We didn't even know how to turn in the Bible. But God had somebody there to teach us that. But we got in there and got busy. I know you know that. Hey, when you get saved, that's not the end. That's the beginning. If that's all it was about, he took us home right then, Pastor. But he leaves us. Why? To serve him. And so we got busy over there, and we did that youth ministry thing. Pastor Charles put. He said, "Yeah, you're going to speak to the youth tonight." I was, "What? Me? Yeah." But you know, we did all that. We got in there. We got busy. Boy, there's a lot to do in God's house. Amen. Say amen right there. There's a lot to do. That's what the pastor was just saying. Hey, some of God's servants are coming in next week. And man, that's an opportunity for you to serve God, another area to serve God in, to help them out along the way. You know, to encourage them. And you can just encourage them by bringing there and being here and supporting them. Hey, sometimes it's a lonely thing being out on the road or being even in your ministry. Sometimes it is. You know, and so they need that. But you know, we got busy in the church, and it wasn't. And you know, if you get busy for God, that you won't have a problem with something to do. Amen. Amen. There's plenty to do in the service of God. And so we got in there and we got busy. And the next year after I'd got saved, I answered the call to preach. And of course, my pastor, he was a good man. And he said, hey, he said a good place to cut your teeth would be in the prisons. That's a place I've been trying to stay out of. And he said, that'd be a good place to cut your teeth. So you know, I went and preached it. That we had a jail ministry and we had a prison ministry. There is a difference, by the way. You know, jail is where... most of the time you go before you have seen a judge, before you've been sentenced. And then prison is a place where the majority of the time you go after the sentencing. There is a big difference. Jail, you still got a chance to get out of, not prison for the most part. And so plenty of opportunities to serve the Lord. And you know, But God calls people into full-time service. And me and Miss Powell went forward and presented our bodies. We did Romans 12:1, presented our bodies a living sacrifice, you know, and to the Lord. And, you know, God just began to work in our hearts about serving Him full-time. And we didn't stay long at the church. I believe it was 3 years, and we surrendered, and we felt led that God had called us to go with Rock of Ages. And we've always been burdened to work with young people. And we still, even to the day, we still go, and I'm in school 3 days a week. On Mondays, I go into to an elementary school. And I go in, and I stand before about five elementary kids. One of them is a kindergartner, two of them are first graders, and then two are second graders. And I go in and I stand before them because these elementary kids already are having problems in school. It's not like it used to be, okay? It's not as easy. I know there's people in here tonight that, well, daddy and mama had a remedy for that. I understand that, but we're living in different days now. Yeah, you used to be years ago, you know, if you acted up, you knew when you got home, you're going to get it. That was the remedy for it. And that still works to a certain degree, but we live in a much different world now with a much different government now. And so we, you know, you have to be careful in that area. So anyway, these young people are in this class. It's an alternative school, if you can imagine. It's an alternative school setting already. At elementary, you were an elementary teacher already in their lives. They're already taken out of a normal school setting and put into an alternative setting because of their behavior. Because of their behavior. And you know, it's a challenge in their life already at this young age. It's a challenge for them and their parents. But you know, we get to go in there, and we have at Rock of Ages, God has really blessed our ministry, and we have a character curriculum that can take a young person from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. We have over 100 lessons dealing with what the Bible says about character traits. Over 100 different traits that God has used our men to write. And we go in and we have syllabuses on these. We have everything we need to go in and present that to the school. And we can adapt it to their lesson planner and teach it however they're willing to let us teach it. And we have that taking place in 17 states today. We have men and their wives teaching in 17 states today. Teaching about character, but from even a biblical standpoint. Now, we use the scripture references to go with it as well, but we also show the everyday way of it. And we put it out there so that they can make their choice. You know, we stay neutral with it. We're not in there preaching. By the way, there's more than one way to, well, I don't know if I should say this, skin a cat, but I have a cat. So it's nothing against cats. It's just a figure of speech. But because I didn't know a better way to say it. You know, we've been in this little elementary school now for over 2 years. And, man, they love it. And they call us and they say, can you change your schedule? Because we need it for this right now. And we can adapt and we change it. And we just keep getting to go in there. And we who knows what may take place. But, you know, we're in there sowing the word. And we talk to them about these kids, and I see some that have left, and I say, you know, what happened to so-and-so? They say, oh, he's back now at his regular school. He's able to transition back in, and he's been doing good. Or maybe a young lady, and, you know, we have to think we had a part in that, you know. We were able to stand before him. It's a great responsibility to do this. Now, because look here, we've got middle schoolers and high schoolers at two different schools in our county that were working. And now, so they're older now. And they've been out in the world a little bit more now. And they're involved in a whole lot of different things at this level. But we go in there. And we just open up our heart, you know, take our heart out and just put it before them through these lessons. and try to talk to them and teach them. And they're very receptive. They are. They're very receptive. The teachers are very receptive. The administration is. In fact, the one we go to on Tuesday that we'll be going back to, we go in about 1:15 and we get done about 2:30. And this is what the principal said recently. She looked at me and she said, "Brother Powell." Now, that's how she approached me. She didn't say Mr. Powell from a professional level. She said, "Brother Powell." She said, "You are praying for us, aren't you?" And of course, I do pray for my schools and my kids. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Well, we sure need it." You know, isn't that, that's amazing, you know, that, you know, God can put you in places where there's either people that are like-minded or they're at least receptive in some way. Because, see, it only takes one person, whether it's a student or a teacher, it just takes one to stand up and give opposition, and we have to leave. We'd be gone. That's just the way it is. And so we do that one, and we have a coach in there that comes in with the boys. We actually, that class has grown, and those are classes you don't want to see grow, but again, they're still before court. They're still before youth prison. That yet hasn't came. It's still before that. We're still doing preventive work. But we have a coach in there. He'll take the liberty any time in the class. He'll say, "May I say something?" And a lot of times he'll speak about from a biblical standpoint. And I don't know if you know this, but we have more liberty than even a teacher has to talk about biblical things. So anytime they do it, they're really stepping out. We can have a little bit more liberty than them. And so he's really each time, but it don't matter. He loves these young people, and he'll take time to tell them things. So that's where we go on Tuesdays, and we're just in there. We're in our second year there, and we're just seeing great things take place there. Now on Fridays we'll go to another school in the area that we've been in over 3 years now, and we go in there, and many times the guidance lady, she'll say, "Mr. Powell," she said, "you going in to tell them about Jesus?" You know, and again, we got young people in there that are caught up in all kind of things. And we just go in there and we just try to love on them and talk to them about life from a character standpoint. We just try to talk to them about that. And so we're seeing great things happen there, because, see, we just got back from prison up in northeast Tennessee, where there's over 60 to 70 young boys. And always when you go in there, and if they go there, Mama, they never, and Granny, if they go there, and Daddy, if they go there, they're not coming back home the same. Just not happening. It's going to be something different. It's just the way it is. I told my young people, I said, "Look, when we always go in there, somebody's sporting a black eye." And we had a young man that went from one of our classes there. And I told him, I said, "Y'all want me to tell..." His last name was Kincaid. I said, "You want me to tell Mr. Kincaid you said hi or anything?" And of course, they were and all. Now, I said, "Look, now," I said, "this is not a walk in the park for Mr. Kincaid." I said, "It's a tough place." And boy, when we went in there, the first person we seen was Mr. Kincaid. And that morning, he had got a shiner right here. He decided to step into another young boy's cell. And for some reason, must thought, and that's a no-no, because that's their home. That's their domain. That's all they have. Even young people feel that way. That's their personal belongings. And Mr. Kincaid come out there with a shiner on his eye. But you know, we went there, and we've been going there for years. We've been actually going there for almost the entire time in the ministry at this one. We go to it twice a year. And we had over 30 boys out every day for church. We had almost half the population coming out for church. Now, I met a young man in there that was that's 16 years old, and he said the first time he got locked up, he was 11 years old. Can you imagine? 11 years old. Now, on his hand right here, burn in there. Wasn't a tattoo, is burn in there. Was CWB. And he later told me it stood for Crazy White Boys. It's a gang affiliation. And He just basically said that mama and daddy wouldn't take time, and he found people that would take time. That's what it boiled down to. But it locked him up when he was 11 years old. And he said he's not been out much since then, and now he's 16. And boy, but you know that 11-year-old boy, Mr. Marlin, was still in there. He's 16 now, but the 11-year-old boy, I met him that day, he's still in there, and still crying out. Now, he came out to one of the services, and he made a profession. He got saved, and you know, if he truly meant what he said, you know, something's going to be changing. Now, that won't never leave off the hand. A boy can leave from inside the heart. And so, you know, we hope that when we go back to see him in September, if he's still there, hope that he's still living for the Lord. We have a chaplain in there, by the way, a Rock of Ages man. Been there for 15 years, still there. Sitting next to him was a young boy, 14 years old, named Brandon was his first name. And, you know, Brandon had only been there for a short time, maybe a week or so. But, you know, Brandon was already, he had had enough. But, see, it's not that simple. Because I asked him, I said, what has to happen for you to get out of here? They said, well, Mr. Powell, you come in with 0 points. But they said, you got to get to 3,000 points to get out. They said, now, the most you can get a month is 600. So that's 5 months of your life. Just being able to not getting any, not they write you up based on major and minors write-ups for problems. So that's with no complications. You can get out in 5 months. No complications. But they fight in there like crazy, the chaplain says. Okay? There's just some boys in there that just don't care. So we met Brandon, and Brandon got saved in one of the services. We had 8 boys get saved those 3 days we were there out of the 70-something. But we've known a young boy in there, and he's out by now. He had 35 days to go when we were there back in March. And they have to go them whole days there at the end once they get their release papers. They have to go without any write-ups. You have to hope that this young man don't come over and just start a fight with you for nothing. Just to keep you around because he's going to be there. But his young man's name is Larry, and Larry got saved a couple years ago, and Larry's one of them that encourages you. He's one you like to see, Pastor. He was at every service. Man, he had his Bible, his Rock of Ages Bible was in hand, and man, he was singing, he was amening, and just wonderful. And so, look, it works. Lives are being, you know, affected. And many of these young people, the majority of these young people are going to get out and get another chance at life. And that's what it's about. They're all going to get out and get another chance at this thing called life. It's not always the case for adults in adult prisons, but it is for these young men. So look, that's what we're doing up there, is trying to take these open doors that the Lord has given us and serve him in. And back here in the back when you leave, there'll be a table out there with some literature on it. And good news, all that literature except of the Bibles is free. Isn't that good? A good deal tonight. And so take it and use it. I told Jeremy what you didn't take, I was going to leave with him to use with the young people. But hey, if there's something back there that you got somebody that you'd like to take something to, because see, look, there's a book back there called Flying Off the Handle. You know, I was telling Jeremy, I said, anger is a God-given emotion. But you know, God told us, he said, be angry and sin not. You know, you can't get rid of anger. It's in there. It's in the emotional makeup of man. But God said we could control it. Because see, if we don't control it, bitterness can set in. You know, and bitterness is, it goes all the way down to the heart. It's like the dandelion. It has a long root. So 2 of those books back there, grab some of them. There's plenty back there. And you know, hell is still in the Bible. You know that? It's still in there. And so we want to go and we want to warn them. And many people say, why be born again? You know, can't live it. And, of course, you can't live it. That's right. We can only live it through Jesus. Amen? That's the only way. So there's plenty of material back there. Be sure you grab some and use it. And let me just say this. I have a few of these Bibles left. We have our own Rock of Ages study Bible. And it was the old Pilgrim's Bible was the inside when it was in print. It had been out of print for many years. And the Lord opened up the opportunity, the door to where Rock of Ages could purchase the rights to it. Now, we call it the Rock of Ages study Bible, but we had a desire for many years to be able to get a good study Bible in the hand of an inmate. It's not a problem getting a Bible in prison. It's actually so convenient that they have to limit them to how many Bibles they can have. But getting a good King James Version study Bible is a different thing. And we can take these in and give them one for free. You know, they don't have to pay for it or anything. And it's the one we take in, the inmate Bible, costs us as missionaries $7.50. Our ministry has it printed. We don't print these. We print all of this material, we print ourselves, but not our Bibles. We have to have them printed. Now, this is our fifth printing of these Bibles, and this is this year we were able to have them printed in the United States. And the price went up almost $3 a Bible. We were getting them for $4.50. And when we had them printed here, now it costs us $7.50. But you know what? That's all right. To be able to get one in the hand of an inmate. Now, back here, you're going to find some bonded leather. A bonded leather Bible, study Bible, King James Version in any Bible store will cost you a pretty good penny. $35 back here. And you, when you buy that, you'll be putting also one of those inmate Bibles in the hand of an inmate or a young person in the school. So there's, I think there's three or four of these back there. And then there's one calf skin, which is a nice leather calf skin, an Abba Bible, Abba leather, and it's $50. So just letting you know that if you're a Bible person and interested in them and helping the ministry out, they're back there. If you have your Bibles, I see my time, and so but I do want to leave you with this thought. I knew I'd rather take time to share most of the ministry with you, and I know you hear preaching all the time, but I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, and I just want to take about five more minutes and just share with you, or just a couple minutes, and share with you this thought just real quickly here. You know, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth here, and he says here in verse 9, he says this, he makes this statement. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." And he said, "There are many adversaries." But he said, "A great door and effectual is opened to me." You know, God has some great doors for his children, you know, to step in. You know, and he even has some doors for the lost people to step in. You know, it's everybody has a call of salvation to answer. So if you please, a door to step through for salvation. God's not willing that any perish, but that all be saved. And so he has that door of salvation, you know, for everybody to open. Now, Paul wasn't talking particularly about that door. He had done went through that door on the road to Damascus over there back in Acts chapter 9. He'd done stepped through that door. You know, you may be here tonight. You may not be saved. And that door's still there. But, you know, and I just told you how I went through and stepped through that door. So I don't have to say that again. But, you know, then he has a door for service, I believe, as well. You know, Paul said a great, and I know what Paul was talking about here in the context of it. I understand that. Paul went all over the place. But, you know, even though Paul went all over the place, his message was the same. It was about what happened on the road to Damascus. It was about that Damascus Road conversion. And by the way, that's just all, that's what our job is to do anyway, is just to tell somebody about what Jesus did for us. Amen. That's it. You know, everybody who is saved is a missionary. Because all a missionary does is tells people about Jesus. Amen. And so in that, you know, so God is standing there with some, you know, just, even as Paul said, you know, we could say, hey, a great door in effectuals opened unto me. You know, the question with a door is, way is, are you going to, you know, that speaking of doors, they didn't know who was behind that door that night over there at Langley Lane. They didn't know who was behind that door. They had went to a lot of doors, they said, and heard a lot of things. But you know, I'm glad they come to one more door. And because, hey, it, you know, that changed our lives forever. Paul said a great door is opened. You know, and I just want to leave you, you know, with this thought. You know, are you taking the opportunity, Christian, to step through the doors that God has opened for you? It wasn't just for Paul. If it was, it all ended then, if that's all it was about. God's got many open doors, and they're great doors. They're effectual doors. Now, yeah, the bottom part there says, and there's many adversaries, and they are. But man, if God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. There's nothing too hard for him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But you know, God can't do anything if we won't step through the door. He can't save a person that don't see the need to be saved. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit has to draw a person and convict them and show them their need to be saved so they'll step through the door. But then after that's handled, then there's the door of service. God wants us to serve him, amen? He wants us to find a place and serve him, you know, and with all your heart just serve him. No, there's no spectators, are they, in God's family? No. God don't want spectators. He needs people that are going that don't mind rolling up their sleeves and just getting in the work. No, it's not just for preachers or missionaries, it's for all God's people. But you know, them doors just don't open on their own, do they? And, you know, I hope that that even in this short moment of sharing my testimony with you, updating you on the work, thank you. Hey, thank you for all your prayers and support. Hey, we couldn't do it without you. And we count it a privilege to be an extension. You know, that's what we are. We're a representative of yours. We're an extension of your mission efforts. Thanks to you, there's some people in Tennessee that are hearing some things. There's some people in Tennessee that are getting saved, some young people. You know, thanks to what, because you believe in missions, because you believe in supporting missionaries, but because you believe in not just giving your tithe, but giving your faith promise offering. Yeah. Look, we can't work a job because we are called. And our supporters, just like you, expect us to be. You expect, as he said, if you call my mission board, Rock of Ages is my mission board. They're my mission agent. I was a preacher before I went with them. I was a missionary. I was already called to the young people, but they're my mission board. You can call them at any time and get an update on me. And that's where it should be. Because I'm accountable to them. I fill out a monthly, our president on down fills out a monthly month report to say what he did for the month so that if his supporters need to call, they can find out. So I hope there's been something said tonight that'll cause you and me, you know, to be aware of these doors God has put before us. Look, I'm nobody, I'm not somebody special. I used to live over there in Manteo. I used to drive around and play in the dirt, and people paid me to do it. And all I am now is just an old sinner saved by grace, just trying to tell another sinner about Jesus. Nobody different. Paul, just like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So, hey, Stillwaters, the challenge tonight is, may God convict our hearts. If we're here and we're not saved, to be saved first. But then if we are here and we're saved, to make sure, hey, are we stepping through the doors that God has given us to serve Him in? We could never say, well, there wasn't nothing to do, Lord. Oh, there's plenty to do. There's more than we'll ever get done. But, boy, let's just do all we can do to make a difference in eternity. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank You for this evening You give us. We thank You for these great people, Lord, this great church here, this work You're doing. Lord, thank You for Pastor Facenda and his dear wife and their dear family. Thank You, Lord, for what You put down in his heart, Lord, over 15 years ago now. Lord, the doors that You opened up for him and that You're continuing to open up, Lord. God, the impact that this church, this lighthouse has been able to have here in this area and around the world. Lord, may the sun never set on the ministries of this church here. God, please continue just to keep Your hand on them and bless them. And Lord, we thank You for their part in helping us, Lord, fulfill the calling You've placed on our lives. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that's not saved, show them their need to be saved. And Lord, those that are saved, may You encourage them, Lord, just to do all they can while they can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Pastor.